Thank God for His goodness tonight. Brooklyn Tabernacle Church and choir is a good pattern for any church. When I see that big filled tabernacle, it just I'm in awe of what the Lord has done. Jim Sambala spake in 1994. I thought he was looking awful young in this video, since it came from 1994. And he spake to a group of people that came together for a kind of a joy and rejoicing praise conference. And there were singers there, Bill Gaither and people of that stature and people, the gospel artists, and just people that wanted to know more about praise and worship. And they fill this huge place that just looks like thousands of them. And the amazing message that came from Jim Sambala wasn't a message about music or about just praise and about worship. It was about prayer. It was about prayer, and it was about the temple. And one of the most unusual acts of Jesus was to braid a whip. He did it actually twice on two occasions. But in one occasion, he actually braided a whip. And it's so seemingly unlike his character. But we forget that our God is a jealous God. And what provoked that was the merchandising and there's an insight that I believe will help us to pray tonight. One of our prongs of prayer should be for pulpits in America. I really believe if we would get purity back in the pulpits, purity back in the motive for preaching, we would actually see a revival, because we've got people with platforms to reach tens of thousands of people. And if they had pure hearts to go with that platform, I believe God's anointing would flow, and I believe we'd see I'm going to say millions swept into the kingdom of God. And if we had millions swept into the kingdom in America, we would have a Christian nation again, a truly Christian nation. And I'm not just talking about lost people, but I'm talking about Christians that don't really understand how to follow Jesus and why we're following Him. To follow Him for the right reason, can you say, man? And I appreciated Jim in 1994 with all these dignitaries there, amen, preaching on the buying and selling in the temple. And he was trying to get to the point of the whole message was, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And I found out something about Jim Sambala. How many like the Brooklyn Tabernacle? You like what they've done? And they've won awards in the choir. They didn't get in it to win awards. He said his wife can't read music. Never had any formal training. Everybody say Holy Spirit. You have to depend on prayer when you're not good enough at it to do it all yourself. And yet she puts together the arrangements. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Without going to some school for music arts, and yet she puts together all the arrangements for the choir, and I think they do a grand job of those arrangements. He said, my wife has no formal training in music at all. He was involved in baseball or something. Amen. And they came to Brooklyn, New York, and he said the first service, they had 20 people that they brought together. And he said, he had no formal preparation for ministry. He said it was so bad where we were, and everybody was so depressed where we were, drugs, alcohol, high crime rate. He said, I didn't even want to go to the service. And I was the minister. And he said, my preaching abilities, I had no education, no books, no background. I just wanted to see souls won to God. And he said, we had to rely on prayer, because we had to rely on God. Can you say amen? One of the things that prayer proves is that we are relying on God. Not our ingenuity, not our intelligence, not even our preaching preparation. But we're relying on the Spirit of God to do the work. Amen? And it's challenged me, because I have preached so long, Brother Taylor, you got it right. He said something about me that I've been saying about myself that you said about me a long, long time ago. He said, Brother Venable is willing to preach at the drop of the hat, and he's willing to drop the hat. Did you say, man, I am apt to teach, apt to preach. I have to control myself, because I think in biblical scriptural terms, all the time about everything. And I have to realize, though, that preaching, as powerful as it is, anointed as it is, appointed of God in a high place as it is, without prayer is still not utilizing the weapons we need to win these battles for souls and for lives to be changed. Can you say amen? So I hope you enjoy this. About 10 minutes. It's two parts of 10 minutes, two five-minute parts, amen, of Jim Sambala teaching in 1994 with a lot of big ministers in the audience in music and in churches, and to hear him speak boldly about let's keep it pure. Can you say amen? So that God can bless our prayers and show us his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe pulpits need prayer in America.
The holy temple of God, and get so physical and so irate and said, you've made it a house of merchandise. You've made it a den of thieves. Get out of here. Is it not written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer? Now, what's odd about all of this is that the people who were in there belonged there. The people who were selling the animals had to be near the temple precincts because there was no way to offer the sacrifices prescribed in Leviticus and the books of Moses unless somebody could have those animals available for you. You couldn't be carting these animals from your home or all through the streets of Jerusalem. So those people belonged there. But they had put a gouging uplift on the price. They were making money hand over fist, taking advantage of the fact that they were the ones who could assist, and they were hiking the prices up so that people were getting taken advantage of. And the money changers, you know, you had to pay the temple tax if you were a good Jew, and you couldn't use Greek or Roman money. You had to actually use the special coins that were minted in Jerusalem itself. So those money changers were there to take your money from wherever you came from, Macedonia or whatever, and you changed your money so that you could make the proper donation. But they were once again tacking on big time profit. And the people carrying stuff through the temple. Actually, the writers of that time tell us that instead of going around the temple, they said, let's take a shortcut. And they went through the court of the Gentiles, right through the temple, carting their stuff, making the house of God a shortcut to big time money. And Jesus, with his whip made of cords, and Jesus somehow physically with just his presence and his authority just thrashes them out of there and kicks them all out. Before I get to my main point, it does remind us that all of us who are involved in singing in choirs and preaching the gospel and pastoring churches and gospel singing, whatever the style is, and you who are Sunday school teachers, because I know there's a lot of influence in this room right now. You're going to go back. A lot of you are leaders in the place where you came from. Boy, does that challenge us to remember that it's not just not if you're doing God's work. It's how you do God's work. For the Bible tells us that one day Jim Sambala is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And God's going to ask me why I pastored the Brooklyn Tabernacle and with what spirit. You see, these people were in the temple, but they didn't have the spirit of the temple. They were supposed to be there to assist people to worship and to come into God's presence. And they were there, but they were out of sync with the whole purpose that God had for the place called the house of the Lord. I mean, they were doing it. They were doing the job, but they were making big time money and they were greedy and they had brought a secular spirit into a sacred place. They were businessmen. They were crass businessmen coming into something that God said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves. You're getting over on the people. Out with you. Awesome thought. And in a day when gospel music and gospel preaching and gospel work can become so mechanical or oriented toward me, myself, and I, it reminds all of us today here at the Praise Gathering that as we go back to our separate duties, that we have to do God's work with God's Spirit. We have to do God's work and approach it with God's heart, because one day it doesn't matter if your friends approve of you, doesn't matter how many albums you sell or how popular Jim Cymbler is or if he writes a book. One day the Bible says, I'm going to stand in front of the one whose eyes are like fire and I can't get over on him. All of you that sing in that choir, it's not just if you're on your note, it's why you're on your note. It's the spirit that you do in it. Am I doing it for the glory of God? Do I really care about those people in New York City? I mean, am I preaching just to put on a show and get through another service? Or does my heart really radiate with God's love? And am I saying the things that He wants me to say with the spirit He wants me to say them in? Why are you teaching that Christian ed class, that Sunday school class? Why are you singing in that choir? Why do you serve? The Bible says that when Jesus went into the temple, He reminded them, this is not your house. This is my Father's house. And my Father's house has to be run my Father's way. And when you touch something sacred in a secular way, I'm going to kick you all out of here. And even though He's not walking through churches today and kicking people out, there is going to come that day when Paul says we'll all stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to have to give a review to the Lord. And we will be reviewed on temple of God and get so physical and so irate and said, you've made it a house of merchandise. You've made it a den of thieves. Get out of here. Is it not written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer? Now, what's odd about all of this is that the people who were in there belonged there. The people who were selling the animals had to be. That's not my main point this morning, but that's a well-taken point for all of us. Not only on the crass business side of money, because it's so easy to make gospel work just another way to make a living. That's what these people were doing. They weren't interested in people getting in contact with God. They were making a living out of it. But as we do God's work, we must not rob the glory that is only due to Him. Whatever we do and whatever we say, the Lord wants to remind us through this that all the glory and all the honor must go to Jesus Christ. But the thing that really provoked Jesus into this angry tirade was this. He said, you men don't even understand about my Father's house. You've revised. You've given your opinion about the temple, but the temple doesn't belong to you. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. This is a first principle of religion, so listen closely. Jesus said, my house, my Father's house, shall be called a house of prayer. The atmosphere of my Father's house is supposed to be prayer. The atmosphere around the things of my Father must be that aroma of people opening their heart and coming to my Father in worship and in petition and supplication. And instead of keeping that atmosphere and aiming at that atmosphere and understanding my Father's purpose, you've made it a place just to make a buck. So out with you. My house shall be called a house of prayer. The thing that's supposed to distinguish Christian churches and Christian people and Christian gatherings is the aroma and the atmosphere of prayer. You might say, well, Pastor Cymbal or Brother Jim, that's not our style. We come from a different tradition. It doesn't matter what your tradition is or what my tradition is. It's His Father's house. And His Father says, in my house it shall be a house of prayer and supplication. Now, we know that that temple is unlike any church. The Brooklyn Tabernacle, the building that I pastor in, is not a sacred building. Your church building is not a sacred building. There are no sacred buildings like the temple. We know that. That temple that sat there in Jerusalem, which now the Mosque of Omar sits on that land, was the only place that God said the brazen altar could be put and the animal sacrifices could be given. It was the only geographical spot in the world where the holy place and the holy of holies could be. So what I'm not trying to say today is that in our churches, there's some counterpart to the temple. We know that. In fact, the Bible says we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But what I want to say to you is that God's work from the very beginning is not like you and I often imagine it. God's work, God's house, the Christian religion is always supposed to have the aroma of prayer. Preaching, yes, but not my house shall be called a house of preaching. Music, yes, but my house shall not be called a house of music. My house shall be called a house of prayer. There were choirs, but it was called a house of prayer. There was the reading of the word, but my house shall be called a house of prayer. So the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ died and resurrected and went back to heaven, and he began his church, which the gates of hell shall not prevail against, he kept the same line running through the formation of the church, which was in his Father's house. Have you ever noticed that the Christian church was not born while someone was preaching, but while people were praying? Have you ever noticed that in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when the church was born, they were doing nothing but just waiting on God and praying? And they were just sitting there, and as they were praying and worshiping and waiting and having heart communion with God, and God shaping them and cleaning them out and building faith into them and doing those heart operations that only the Holy Spirit could do, the church was born. The Spirit was poured out. My house shall be called house of prayer. In the fourth chapter, Peter and John are arrested and they're slapped around and threatened. Don't you preach anymore in that name. And what do? They don't go and protest. They don't go to the Supreme Court. They don't try to get some political leverage. They go back to a prayer meeting. They go back and say, behold the threat. Oh God, look how they're threatening us. But oh God, we lift our voices together to you. Oh God, behold their threats and give your servants boldness that we might preach the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and the place where they prayed.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We'll stop right there and continue that. How many are interested in this message? Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we pray tonight, there's two things that we need to pray about. Number one, we need to pray for the pulpits in America. We need to pray. I'll pray. Amen. I want this to be a house of prayer. Yes. Amen. I preach here, and I'm anointed to preach here, but it's very obvious to me, and I feel it's becoming obvious if it isn't already to you, that preaching in and of itself without the Holy Spirit breaking through, amen, to this community, breaking through to our families and our children, is simply not enough in and of itself without prayer. Amen. And here we are tonight. You came to pray tonight. Amen. And all of this is just to give us an incentive. If we can't get it all done, we'd have to stay here till 6 in the morning to just start giving a handle on this thing. But we can set a standard for this week. What is inspiring to me here tonight is what's going to happen all week long when I walk. I take my walk and talk. Everybody say walk and talk. Amen. I walk and talk with God. And it's amazing how far and quickly you can walk and back when you're talking all the way. Can you say, amen? Some ladies got together and took a trip and went several hundred miles to a meeting out of our church, and they, believe it or not, talked the whole way. I don't know how ladies can do that, but they were able to pull that off. Amen. And they said it was no time till we got there. Was it because they were driving 90 miles an hour? No, it was because they were talking 90 miles an hour. Amen. While driving 55 back at the time. Amen. Time passes quick when you're talking. And so I walk to get away from home, away from the phone. I have no closet to get into. Amen. So I make the sidewalk my closet. And I walk and talk to God. I put on my Shrek hat, amen, and so I can just look down at the sidewalk and talk to God. And I talk to him about everybody in this building by name, personally, and your extended families. Praise the Lord. And I just got a praise report today from a man who had a financial blessing. And the last part, I pray for you spiritually, physically, emotionally, amen. There's one other. Anyway, and financially last. But God God is already answering the financial part in some people. God got an answer to something he's been praying about, and God just came through this last week, and he said, I'm going to bless the church with a good time. Amen. And I said, glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. That God is blessing somebody to be a blessing. And I told him, I want to be a blessing too. He's part of this church. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it or not, he's part of this church. It could happen to us. Hallelujah. God is answering prayer. This was a lingering thing drawn out. And the testimony is that he called somebody in the office that's supposed to cut him a check that's supposed to be cut a year ago or whatever. And the lady said, I'm sorry, I've done all I can. I can't help you. And he said, well, is there anybody else I can talk to? And the lady said, well, I'll let you talk to part of the team here at so-and-so bank or insurance company, I think it was. And he called this other person, and they said the check has just been cut and put in the mail. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good?
Yes,
so the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And we're grateful for the Lord blessing people so they can be a blessing. And it could happen to you. Hallelujah. It could happen to us, and I believe it's going to happen to all of us because I'm praying for it. Hallelujah to a God who listens. And we're getting excited about answered prayer right now. Hallelujah. This song is, but wait a minute, before you play the song, this song is because we can't just pray for the fullness of America with all of our needs and leave without. And God doesn't want us to. Amen. He wants us to pray also. Amen. About our lives, our needs, our families, our circumstances. Some of you get deeply discouraged, and I'm with you. I get deeply discouraged sometimes. But I have to factor God in my circumstances. I can't look at any circumstance as if it's impossible. There are no impossibilities in God. Amen. And they have come to him. If you're going to bother praying, you've got to come one way. They that come to him must believe that he is.
Yes.
That he exists. And literally, he is means he's self-existent. He's not dependent on anyone or anything for his existence. He's all-powerful. He's almighty God. Can you say that? He is. This God we're talking to has that kind of awesome power and authority. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him out. Can you say that? And that's what praying is all about, is diligent. You're not seeking God until you pray. Make no mistake about it. You don't seek him. You're sitting and listening to songs until you get stirred up. That's a good atmosphere to pray in, but that's not prayer. And it's not a substitute for prayer. Can you say that? But if you seek him in prayer, you come to him. Call upon me, he said. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not. You've never entered the heart of man what God has laid up within that love. Can you say that? Glory to God. Thank you, sister. She's getting a call. But this song is for each one.
When you've prayed every prayer that you know how to pray, just remember the Lord will hear, and the answer is on its way. Our God is able, he is mighty, he is faithful, and he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never tires of hearing our prayer. When we are weak, he becomes stronger. So rest in his love and cast all of your cares on him. Forgotten your need. Just remember that God is always working in ways you cannot see.
That's right.
Our God is able, he is mighty, he is faithful, and he never sleeps, he never slumbers, he never tires of hearing our prayer. When we are weak, he cast all of your cares on Him. The Bible tells us to cast all of our cares on Him because He cares for us. My friend, this is more than a promise. It's a command. So be at rest, because today God is working in ways that you cannot see. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. Sing it.
He never sleeps. He never slumbers.
He never tires.
He never tires
of hearing our prayer. When we are weak, He becomes stronger.
Sing it.
So rest in His love and cast all your cares on Him.
He never sleeps.
He never sleeps. He never slumbers.
He never tires.
He never tires
of hearing our prayer. When we are weak, He becomes stronger. So rest in His love and cast all of your cares. So rest in His love and cast all of your cares. So rest in His love and cast all of your cares on Him.
Oh, Jesus. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him? Hallelujah. Let's get the discouragement out of our prayers. God works in ways that we can't see, in ways that we can't understand. And He asks us to put our confidence in Him, even when we don't see or feel or sense any change coming, to know that He's heard our prayer. And God is at work in places that, in the deepest parts of people's lives where we can't see. He's behind the scenes where we can't see. How's God going to meet your need? I have no earthly idea. I don't need to understand. God asked me to trust without having an understanding of that. Praise the Lord. Will you come and let's just join our hands tonight. We can't pray all of these prayers tonight, but we can set a pattern for prayer for this week. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then we can have something sweet to quit off on tonight. Praise God. And you can turn that light back on if you'd like for just a few moments. Praise the Lord, because if it gets very dim, folks will fall asleep immediately. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been a busy week, a busy day, and it's going to get more hectic and busier. But this is so important to the kingdom of God tonight. Praise the Lord. How many are praying for your loved ones, the ones that don't know the Lord or have fallen away from the Lord? Amen. How many are praying for yourself that you will stay close to the Lord? That's a legitimate prayer we all ought to be praying, that we will stay close to the Lord tonight. How many are praying for your preacher tonight, sometime or another? Please remember me as I remember you in prayer tonight, because prayer is so important to my victory and being able to just stand tonight. Amen. I stand in grace and mercy. That's the only thing that keeps me going tonight, but it's all I need to keep going, because His grace is sufficient and His mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We come to humble ourselves before You. Lord, we pray for ministers in pulpits all over America. Yes, all over the world. Father, that our motives would be made pure. Father, that our desire would be able to see Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth. To see souls rescued. Father, that rescue the perishing might be the reason that we're building churches, that we're building ministries, Father. Father, that others may come to know You through whatever influence we can gain, and whatever influence that You grant to us. Father, we want to be about our Father. Father's business. And we know that prayer is some of the most important part of that business. Long before we go into the harvest field, we've got to pray for those souls to be set free. We've got to saturate our preaching with prayer, our teaching with prayer, our singing with prayer, our witnessing with prayer, our efforts to evangelize with prayer. For there's an enemy that can only be defeated in the enemy of prayer. So Lord, we come as warriors tonight with the full armor of God, praying with all prayer and supplication for all saints, hallelujah, and for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Open the eyes of the blind tonight and let those blinded by the enemy see their lost condition and simultaneously see the good news that a Savior was born, a Savior has come, a Savior is here, and God is mighty to save in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, we pray for our families. Oh God, save them. Open their eyes. They see us serving you. They see us coming to church, but they don't get it yet, many of them. They don't understand it. They don't even appreciate it. Show them personally. We pray they'll have an encounter with you that's intimate, personal, and supernatural in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. I pray for the children of the families of this church to encounter you like the children of Haiti and the children of Jamaica encountered you. Hallelujah. Till they love you, they worship you, they praise you, they are broken before you. I pray for this community that you will loose those captives, captives to drug and to drink and to sin, that you would loose them and let them go free in the name of Jesus. Father, bring here those that you want to be saved. Let them hear the gospel of Jesus Christ here. Let them hear the good news, but Lord, let them also feel the healing, helping touch of God here, the delivering power of God here. Halabakosanda dabaroshi, salabarinde dabako, esalabarianda dabakisala, nanda dabarosha labakitana, neshalababahosanda dabadite, helabakosa. Neta, hallelujah. As we become a house of prayer, show us your glory in the answers. Exalt your name in the answers. Spread your fame in the answers, O God. Shalabaro shalamanite. Hallelujah. We commit ourselves to pray and to keep on praying, to ask and keep on asking, to seek and keep on seeking, to knock and keep on knocking. Halabakusanda, for everyone that prays that way, knocks that way, seeks that way, and asks that way, amen, you're going to answer. Halabaroshalabamba, salababibi, ekala, be glorified in answered prayer. Shalabanitatada, salabakinanamavo, o salaba, halabaroshalabarianda. Father, we praise you. We worship you tonight. Handa rabakosala, nenda raborosha lababi, nenda raboroka sidia. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Shalabakosala barid. We come to you with all manner of prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Prayers of intercession, prayers of petition, prayers of authority over the enemy. We come with the helmet on. We come with the breastplate on. We come with our loins girt with truth. We come with the sword of the Spirit. We come with the shield of faith. We come with the shoes of peace to pray. We come to pull down strongholds. Hanamashitana Sala. We come to cast down strongholds. These weapons are not carnal, but prayer channels them through God. Halabahosata. Shalaba. Though we are in the flesh here tonight and we are limited by the weakness of our flesh, We are not limited, amen, to let our flesh be the final authority. Though we're in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not depend on our flesh, our ingenuity, our ability, our intelligence, our education to be convincing enough without your Holy Spirit. Oh God, though we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty when we pray. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Can you say amen? You know what kind of praying that is? That's praying for the lost man, the lost woman, the lost boy. And that's not casting down strongholds over cities, but strongholds over individuals. Can you say amen? The thoughts that the devil, amen, holds title deed to are those high thoughts of pride and self-sufficiency come crashing down, and they feel their lostness and they feel their need for a Savior. Hallelujah. 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 I said they feel their lostness and they feel their need for a Savior, and blinded eyes are opened and captives are set free. Halabakusanda da barosha, salabariteta, salabakosala, nenda da barosha laba. Every argument against the gospel is cast down. Mabahosanda da babite, salaba, and disobedient hearts can become obedient, and rebellious souls can become subservient. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. How shall these things be when someone is so proud? The things that are impossible with men, Christ said, are possible with God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we will not limit you to the possible. We will not limit you to the probable tonight. We will not limit you to what we think you're able to accomplish, and limit you by believing you can't do this, you can't possibly do that. Lord, we take all of those things away, all the barriers to the supernatural away. Halabakosanda da basilia, nenda da baroshala bakitia, nanda da baroshala barianda da ba, halabakisala ba. In fact, we want to pray so big that when you answer him, that you're glorified in the answer. That no one can write it off to anything but the power, presence of God. Hallelujah, the hand of God. Hallelujah. Handa da baroshilia, nanda da bakosala barianda, salabakite nana, salabarianda da bokohusa, salabaroshala badi. Father, we praise you. 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 Mashallah manite kianda, salabaro, salabakitia. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. Halabakositianda. His ears are open to hear us tonight. Shela bakusa salabanita tadabaroshili nanda dabaruka salabakitata salabadianda. Father, we praise you. Let this week be a week of intercession. Hallelujah. And let it grow and let it build. Meshalabakusa salabarititi. Keep encouraging us, Lord. Keep encouraging us and challenging us. Halabahusa, salabakita nananamuhusa, salabekianda da baroshala, nenda da bakose, selabakulianda da baroshi, salabakosa da barindi, kisalabarianda da bakusata, keshalabaroshalaba, nekalabahusata. If you can take a man like Jim Cimbala with no religious training, hallelujah, and let him pastor a church like this. If you can take a woman with no music training, let her conduct a choir like this. Hallelujah. What did they do? What did they do? They had to rely on you so much. They just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Hallelujah. Meshalaba kisadanana selabaroshalamanite kisalama. Church, we'll move toward a closing with this. A young man gave a testimony, a two-minute testimony. And he said, I was in town for a conference. We went to the Tuesday night prayer meeting at the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And it was simple. There was no production. The choir didn't sing on that Tuesday night. The preacher didn't preach. There was no light show. There was no group singing with the smoke coming up. There was no video, big screen video in the background trying to keep people focused. They didn't come there for any of those reasons. They came for one reason. He said they came to pray and to seek God. And this was a young man, maybe 22, 23 years old. And he said, if you're in town, and he didn't, you know, as good as the choir is, as great as the preaching is, he said, if you're ever in New York City, go to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. He said, when people are praying so loud that you can't even hear yourself pray. Amen. Hallelujah. But he said they're praying prayers, amen, that's going to make a difference in people's lives, in circumstances, in nations. Praise God. Amen and amen. Father God, we want to pattern ourselves after your pattern. But Lord, we want to follow those who are following you. And Father, I believe this is a good pattern for us. Because we've got good people. And we've got the Word of God here. And we've got an evangelistic spirit. We would welcome them to come through that door. We would hug them. We don't care how they're dressed, whether they can add to the finances of this congregation or the in prestige of it. Lord, we want them to come just like they are. Praise God. Come to know you. Hallelujah. Because the same move of the Spirit that will bring them in will bring our children in. The same revival that will touch this community will touch our kids, our loved ones. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The same freedom of the Spirit of God to move like this. Father, we thank you for effective spiritual warfare tonight. We thank you, Lord, for strongholds coming down. Hallelujah. Addictions broken. Hallelujah. The influence of the enemy broken. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you tonight. We praise you tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Let this be a week of intercession. And I believe God will bless us abundantly. Praise the Lord. We'll come in one of these Sundays. You feel that kind of electrical feeling in here. I don't know how to explain that, but I've felt it before I ever walked to a pulpit. There was something just like an electrical feeling. Something kind of making your hair stand up. The presence of God just saturating and permeating this place. Get out of your car and you just feel something holy is about to happen. Can you say, man, something wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All the way out in California, the Holy Spirit can be there in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. He can touch where we can't touch. He can do what we can never do. Hallelujah. But we are not without resources. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Our weakness drives us to Him and draws us to Him for help. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shela baroshiki anda da basala. Nenda da basala maniti. Amen. I got a loved one that every time I pray for that loved one, I think, oh Lord, help me. Build my faith. Help me believe. Amen. Because it's such a hard case. Such a stubborn, deceptive, old heart that when I pray for that particular person, amen, I just feel like, oh Lord, this is Mount Vesuvius, Mount Rushmore, Mount Everest all rolled into one. It's a volcano. Anyway, it's crazy. But you know something? The more I pray for that person, the more I focus on the God who said, call upon me. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me. Amen. You'll never see these things unless you call upon me. But call upon me and I'll show you. I'll manifest in the answer, and I'll let you see things that you never dreamed in your wildest dreams or imagination. For God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that, here's prayer, amen, that you think or ask. Amen. You're probably not asking beyond your ability to figure and think. Amen. God said, I'm able to exceed that. Don't let your mind, amen, and the limits your mind will put on what I'm able to do. Don't let it limit me. Can you say, amen? He's able to do exceedingly above all that we think or ask in prayer. According to the power that worketh in us. Glory to God. If you have trouble praying for somebody like I have trouble for this particular one, that's the time to let the Holy Ghost do it. That's the time that I quit praying in English. That's the time that I let Him pray. Amen. Because He prays in the perfect. I don't know where to pray, God. Whip them or hug them. I don't know what it's going to take to get them in. Personally, I think the whipping is probably the only thing they'll understand. But it may be the hug. I don't know. We don't always know how to pray as we ought. But when you give place to the Holy Spirit and He comes and starts praying, I feel faith when I pray that way for people that are hard cases. You know why? Because He's praying in the perfect will of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And He's praying in perfect faith. Glory to God. Now kind of step aside and let Him intercede. You didn't hear me. I said, I like to kind of step aside sometimes. Amen. So it's not just my faith, Sister Ruth. Amen. That's why Paul said, amen, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God. Can you say, man, that loved me and gave Himself for me? Sometimes when I hit that hard prayer that I'm trying to, boy, it's hard for me to believe for this, but it ain't hard for the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. So I just step aside. I'm praying now for that. I feel faith when I let Him pray. I feel power when I let Him pray. There's no limit on His faith. Can you say amen? He puts no limit on God. Hallelujah. Hanamarosha laba selabakisi salabarosha salabakina nanamasataya. I really believe in closing tonight. That's why people like George Whitfield and some of the others, I believe that's why they had to go out in groves and thickets. They couldn't pray at the church. They couldn't pray near their family. They couldn't pray near people because people would interrupt their prayer. They'd call 911. Can you say amen? Sound like somebody's having a cow or a baby or something out there. Can you say amen? I'm serious. Amen. Listen. Sometimes you can't give utterance to it. Amen. You look at a city that is sin-soaked. You look at people that don't want the gospel and don't want to hear you preach and don't want to hear about Jesus. Hard, stony old hearts. And you want to see a revival in that city. Amen. You can't keep looking at it through those eyes. And you can't just use your own faith either. You got to give place to the one, hallelujah, who knows there's nothing impossible with God. And nothing impossible to him that believeth. And he, whatever you ask in prayer, believing. And the only way sometimes I can believe is to know that God is doing this thing. Hallelujah. Even the intercession is not just me, but me giving way to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I feel my faith rise up and I feel, amen, boldness, praise God. And I get a spirit of expectation. Those guys groaned and moaned and cried out to God. Amen. And then they came walking into one of those towns like that. Who was it? It wasn't Whitfield. It was the other guy. He's a little short guy, they said. Little short, round guy. Kind of like round John Virgin. Can you say, man? He's a little short, round guy. Unimposing. Little old black suit. Nothing flashy. He was a comical looking character. He went in after that kind of praying. He walked into a town and he met a businessman. He invited him to see his manufacturing plant where they were spinning, taking the cotton and you know, it was one of those processing things and making fabric. And he saw people sitting at machines and the ladies began to snicker in particular when he came in. He's just a comical looker. They were kind of snickering and whispering, who is that guy with the big boss walking through here? And as he walked through there, he just walked through there and said one word. Amen. Conviction began to fall upon that place. A holy presence entered that place. Amen. And they began to weep. Amen. And the man that was leading him through that factory, he said, it's almost time for the lunch break. He said, we're going to quit for the rest of the day. He said, sir, would you preach? He looked around and saw all those people beginning to weep, coming under conviction. He said, would you preach to all of my workers here today? Amen. And the revival started in a factory where the Holy Ghost came down because somebody went out in the woods and let the Holy Ghost loose. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Meshalabakisanana. Father, I praise you. I praise you. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let this place be a house of prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And be glorified in the answers to prayer in this place. Hallelujah. And let us be known as a people of prayer for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And everyone said amen and amen. Don't give up. For Kayla. Yes, let's do. Father, we pray you'll touch Kayla with an upset stomach. It almost seems like the enemy's attacking our children that we are praying for this very night. Lord, we just pray, put a covering over Kayla. Lord, healing in her body in the name of Jesus. We decree this thing. We declare this thing because we've come into you to receive it. And we know you're a wonderful God and a good God. And Father, you took the children upon your lap and said, let them come to me. We bring Kayla to you tonight. And she's on your lap. She's going to be blessed of the Lord. Heal her tonight. Make her whole for the glory of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare the enemy defeated and Jesus exalted in this place. And everyone said, amen and amen. This is something sweet to quit off on, and I think I gave it to you. I don't know. Did I or did I not? I did. All right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.